Chapter 28. Matthew is the first book of the New Testament. If you have a Bible, would you join me, please? Matthew chapter 28. And while you're turning, I want to just mention to you, I know that during worship, we typically stand, and that's great. There's certainly a place to stand and worship as we recognize our Lord and King. But I wanted to incorporate a couple of worship songs into the message this morning. So I just wanted to give you a heads up, okay, so that you don't have to stand, all right, as we go through the message. Now, I'm not telling you can't. You do what you need to do. All I'll say, whatever helps you to focus on the Lord, and if that's to just sit there with your Bible open, oh, you know, that's great. You're not condemned. You're free. If you want to stand, it's really up to you. Make the call. But we'll have the words on the screen, and I just wanted you to be aware of that because that's not something that we would typically do, but it's okay. We'll do it this morning. Matthew chapter 28, I'd like to begin reading in verse 1, those few verses, and that's why you actually see the worship team up here behind me. I asked them if they could handle that, and they said, yeah. I said, y'all need to stand up, stretch, help yourself, whatever you need to do is fine. Matthew 28, I'm going to give you a few verses here, God willing, in these next moments that we have together. If you need a bulletin, there's a place on the back of the bulletin to write down verses I hope to share with you and take it with you, get it in your heart, and just think about them. Use them as future reference. Matthew 28, verse 1 says this, "Now after the Sabbath, as the first day of the week began to dawn, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary came to see the tomb, and behold, there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat on it. His countenance was like lightning, and his clothing as white as snow. And the guards shook for fear of him, and they became like dead men. But the angel answered and said to the women," not the guards, "said to the women, 'Do not be afraid, for I know that you seek Jesus who was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen as he said. Come, you don't have to take my word for it. See the evidence for yourself. Come, see the place where the Lord lay, and go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead. And indeed, he's going before you into Galilee. There you will see him. Behold, I've told you.' So they went out quickly from the tomb with fear and great joy and ran to bring his disciples word." Verse 9. "And as they went to tell his disciples, behold, Jesus met them, saying, 'Rejoice.' So they came and held him by the feet, and they worshiped him." They worshiped the risen Savior. And Jesus said to them in verse 10, "Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brethren to go to Galilee, and there they will see me." For these ladies going to the tomb that morning, and later for the disciples, the resurrection of Jesus changed everything. It changed them. I believe I could more accurately say, he changed them. And because Jesus is alive, here's the message this morning. It's one point, okay? Ready? Is Jesus is still changing hearts and destinies. Jesus is still changing hearts and destinies. Think about that a moment. Jesus, of course, if he's dead, he's not changing anything. But if he's alive, Jesus is still changing hearts and changing destinies. And if we know him this morning, we have a living hope. Let me read you these verses from 1 Peter chapter 3, if you want to write them down. 1 Peter chapter 3, and the Bible says this in, 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. 1 Peter chapter 1. And verse 3 says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again." That means we're born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Because Jesus conquered death, we can have a living hope today. It's not just wishful thinking. We have a living hope based on a solid fact of the resurrection of Jesus Christ and the eternal truth of God's word. And if we know him, God wants us to be able to share the living hope we have with others. He says over in chapter 3 of 1 Peter, 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 15 says this, "But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts." One translation says, "Worship Christ as Lord in your heart. And always be ready to give a defense, give a reason to everyone who asks you, a reason for the hope that is in you with meekness and fear." That just simply means, do you believe Jesus is alive? And if you do, why? Why do you believe? It's not just, well, I just think so, or I feel so. No, we can know that Jesus is alive, and God wants us to be able to share that with others. And I'm going to share just one reason I believe today in just a moment. But I was telling Kim, I'm going to write a few, maybe about five reasons why I believe that Jesus is alive and conquered death. I'll put them on our website if you want to check it out later. You'll see it under, I think it says from the pastor or something like that. But we have a living hope today, and if you don't have that living hope, you can. This song talks about how great there was a chasm, a gulf between us. And when we could not get to God, he came to us. How great the chasm that lay between us. How high the mountain I could not climb. In desperation, I turned to heaven and spoke your name into the night. Then through the darkness, your loving kindness tore through the shadows of my soul. The work is finished, the end is written. Jesus Christ, my living hope.
Who could imagine
so great a mercy? What heart could fathom such boundless grace? The God of ages stepped down from glory to wear my sin and bear my shame. The cross has spoken, I am forgiven. The King of Kings calls me his own. Beautiful Savior, I'm yours forever. Jesus Christ, my living hope. Hallelujah, praise the one who set me free. Hallelujah, has lost its grip on me. You have broken every chain. There's salvation in your name, Jesus Christ, my living hope.
Then came the morning
that sealed the promise. Your buried body began to breathe. Out of the silence, the roaring lion declared, "The grave has no claim on me." Jesus, yours is the victory.
has lost its grip on me. You have broken every chain. There's salvation in your name, Jesus Christ, my living hope. Hallelujah. Praise the one who set me free. Hallelujah. Death has lost its grip on me. Have broken every chain. There's salvation in your name, Jesus Christ, my living hope. Jesus Christ, my living hope. Jesus Christ, my living hope.
Amen. Yes, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. We have a living hope this morning. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, beginning in verse 5, 1 Corinthians, you know, one of the ways that history is verified, really the way history is verified, because we can't turn back the clock, is by written testimony, written accounts of eyewitnesses. We can say, well, we're confident that a man named Napoleon lived, or Julius Caesar. Well, we don't really have, you know, we can't interview him. And so we base our, I guess if you want to say, faith and belief on what others have written who did know him. And we have evidence of the resurrection of Jesus because of eyewitness accounts. And these are independent eyewitness accounts. They didn't all get together in a room and come up with this. Notice what it says in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 5. It says that Jesus was seen by Cephas, that's another name for the one we typically call Peter, then by the 12 apostles. And after that, he was seen by over 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain to the present, but some have fallen asleep. That's a term that means Christians that died. They fell asleep. And verse 7 says, after that, he was seen by James, then by all of the apostles, and last of all, he was seen by me also as one born out of due time. These people, it wasn't just an hallucination. It wasn't just, well, I miss him so bad, and I thought I saw him. No, they saw him, and they interacted with him. Jesus ate with them. He ate fish and bread. And he saw them. He wasn't just an apparition or vision. He said, go ahead and touch me. Remember, the women came, they held on to him and they worshiped him. They didn't want him to get away this time. They worshiped him. He was real and he was alive. And people saw different people. They saw him in different places, and they saw him at different times. There is evidence to support the fact that Jesus came back to life from the dead, and several of these people who saw him were mentioned by name. It would have been easy to go to them at the time this was written and said, hey, tell them, did you really see him? No, I didn't see him, and they could have ended it right then. But not only did they not end it, they had seen Jesus. And this encounter changed them. And they boldly proclaimed that Jesus was alive, even at their own endangerment. Because some of them were severely persecuted. They were tormented. They were incarcerated. They had their goods confiscated from them, and some even died. But they took their last breath, saying that Jesus is alive and I saw him and he changed me. And Jesus is still changing hearts and destinies today. Jesus is still changing hearts and destinies. One of those that he changed was a man by the name of Chuck Colson. I was just a kid. I didn't really remember all of this. I heard about it in the news. But how many of you have heard of the Watergate scandal? Y'all remember that some years ago? Maybe you weren't even alive then. And you heard about it. Of course, many of you may, you know, you knew the little more of the details. There were men that was actually led to the resignation of then President Richard Nixon. And I was reading a testimony of Chuck Colson just this week, and he went to prison for his role in Watergate. And while he was in prison, Jesus changed Chuck's heart and destiny. And this is what, as a matter of fact, he started serving in a prison ministry for years and became a defender of the Christian faith. This is what he says about the resurrection of Jesus. He said, "I know the resurrection is a fact, and Watergate proved it to me." How? He says, because 12 men testified that they had seen Jesus raised from the dead, and they proclaimed that truth for 40 years, never once denying it. And let me pause there just a second to say this. You say, but yeah, people have been deceived, and they've given their lives and died for causes for centuries and millennia, and they were wrong. I agree. Many over the centuries have given their lives for causes, and no doubt some were deceived. Here's the great difference. The disciples of Jesus would have known if the resurrection was a hoax or not. And they went to their grave proclaiming that Jesus was alive. Then Chuck goes on and he says this. He says, everyone beaten, tortured, stoned, and put in prison, they would not have endured that if it weren't true. Watergate embroiled 12 of the most powerful men in the world, and they couldn't keep alive for 3 weeks. You're telling me 12 apostles could keep alive for 40 years? Absolutely impossible. Jesus is still changing hearts and destinies. Let me read you this verse if you want to write it down from Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1 and verse 16, the Bible says this. For I am not ashamed of the gospel. What does gospel mean? It's good news. For I am not ashamed of the good news of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone, everyone who does what? Who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. I've come to appreciate the fact over the years that if we don't know the bad news, I believe the good news loses some of its impact. So allow me to share the bad news first. The bad news is that we have all broken God's commandments. We've violated His laws, and the penalty for sin is death. Death is not just physically, it's spiritual, which is separation from God. That means outside of Christ, the bad news, the reality of our state and our condition is that we are spiritually dead, we are under condemnation, and we will face the wrath of God against sin at the judgment. That's the reality of the bad news. Thank God for the good news. The good news is this holy God loved us so much that He gave His only Son, His sinless Son, Jesus, to come to this earth to suffer and die on a cross to bear the judgment we deserve for our sin. Jesus willingly took our punishment. He knew what it was to experience the wrath of God on the cross. In a sense, He really tasted hell for us so that we wouldn't have to. And instead of us drinking the cup of the wrath of God, we get to drink the cup of salvation if we simply call on the name of the Lord. That's good news. Think of, I know right now companies are working, and they have been for a year, trying to come up with a vaccine that's effective against the coronavirus. And we personally know, maybe all of us do, some who have died from that disease. And thank God many have come through, and we've seen that. Thank God for everyone. But wouldn't it be something if tomorrow's news said, we found it. We have a 100% effective vaccine. It doesn't matter how far you've progressed in the disease. If you take this vaccine, you will live, and this disease will not take you out. That's Jesus to us spiritually. We are in a terminal condition spiritually, and Jesus is available, and he is 100% effective against sin and death. And Jesus is still changing hearts, and he's changing lives. The Bible says this. You say, but Rocky, how would I know? How is he changing hearts and lives? Let me read you this from Acts 15, Acts chapter 15, verses 8 and 9. And then we're going to sing a song about our hope being in Christ alone. Acts chapter 15, verse 8. The Bible says this. So God, who knows the heart, acknowledged them by giving them the Holy Spirit just as he did to us. And he made no distinction between us and them. Notice, purifying their hearts by faith. See, this is the issue here. If Jesus is still changing hearts and lives, he changes our heart when he cleanses our heart from sin and he forgives us. When God's Spirit convicts us of sin and unbelief, and he draws us to the truth that Jesus is Lord, and we believe in our heart that Jesus is Lord, the scripture says he cleanses our heart. He forgives our sin, and God's Holy Spirit indwells us. He's in us if we know him, and that's how we can know that our heart is being changed, and it's been changed because he's still changing hearts, and he's changing destinies, and his Spirit is here right now. And I want to ask you to think about that as we sing. Is he drawing you? Has he changed your heart? Has he changed your destiny? Just think about that if you would, because our hope is found in Christ and in Christ alone.
Christ alone, my hope is found. He is my light, my strength, my song. This cornerstone, this solid ground, firm through the fiercest drought and storm. What heights of love, what depths of peace. When fears are stilled, when striving cease, my comforter, my all in all, here in the love of Christ I stand.
In Christ alone.
In Christ alone, who took on flesh, fullness of God in helpless babe. This gift of love and righteousness, scorned by the ones he came to save. Till on that cross, as Jesus died, the wrath of God was satisfied. For every sin on him was laid, here in the death of Christ I live.
Thank God, there in the ground,
there in the ground, his body lay, light of the world by darkness slain. Then bursting forth in glorious day, up from the grave he rose again. And as he stands in victory, since curse has lost its grip on me, for I am his and he is mine, bought with the precious blood of his.
No guilt.
No guilt in life, no fear in death. This is the power of Christ in me. From life's first cry to final bread. Jesus commands my destiny. No power of hell, no scheme of man can ever pluck me from his hand till he returns or calls me home. Here in the power of Christ I'll stand. No power of hell, no scheme of man can ever pluck me from his hand till he returns or calls me home. Here in the power of Christ I'll stand.
Thank God. I love that line that says, he bore my every sin. He took God's wrath in my place. I could never thank him enough. I'm thankful Jesus is still changing hearts and destinies. Would you say that with me? Jesus is still changing hearts and destinies. You say, but Brother Rocky, how would I know if, you know, I've been to church a few times, or I do this, or I do that. How do I know if God's really changed my heart? How would I know if I'm really going to heaven when I take my last breath? I want to know that, and I want to know that now. The Bible says in Romans chapter 1, we read that first verse there, verse 16, that said that I'm not ashamed of the good news of Christ, for it is the power of God. The Bible says in the next verse, verse 17, Romans 1:17, it says that, for in it, in the good news, the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. How do I know if I've had a changed heart? We begin to live by faith in God. We begin to live. See, there, if there's a changed heart, there's something that happens on the inside that begins to work its way out on the outside. We're not instantly like, I'm just arrived and I never do anything wrong, but there's been a change. There is a difference because the gospel is the power of God unto salvation. We begin to live by faith and we believe the word of God and we worship him. Remember what the ladies did when they saw the risen Christ? They worshiped him. The Bible says this in Acts chapter 24. Let me just read a few verses to you. If you want to turn there, Acts chapter 24, it's the fifth book of the New Testament, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Acts chapter 24. I'll read this testimony for you here, beginning in verse 14. Acts 24, 14. The Bible says, in fact, this man who wrote these words, who spoke this, his name was Saul at one time. And you can read over in Acts chapter 26 that he was so enraged against the name of Jesus and against those who followed him that he had the authority to not only have them beaten, he tortured them. He tried to torment them to such a degree that they would blaspheme the name of Jesus. He had the authority to arrest them. He gave his consent to the first one who was killed. There was a man named Stephen, you read in the book of Acts. Because of his testimony of Jesus, some of the Jewish people gathered together and they actually killed him by throwing stones at him. They stoned him to death. And this man gave the authority to do so. And on his way to arrest Christians in a place called Damascus, he was blinded by the light, so to speak. And the risen Savior appeared to him. And it was such a light, it actually blinded his sight, his physical sight, for 3 days. And Jesus said, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? What? He was persecuting God's people, But see, when you mess with God's people, he takes it personal. And Jesus said, why are you persecuting me? And Paul, who that was his name later, said, who are you, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus, whom you're persecuting. But now arise, stand on your feet, and I'm calling you, and I've got a purpose for your life, and you're going to do what I tell you to do. And his life was changed. If Jesus was dead, who changed this man's life? Because he was a known persecutor of the Christian faith. He was trying to wipe out Christianity. And he, in turn, after he had his encounter with Jesus, became Christianity's, arguably, its greatest promoter and defender, and wrote close to half of the New Testament. Who changed his heart and his destiny if it wasn't Jesus? Jesus is still changing hearts and destinies. And when he was brought before the rulers, this is what he says in Acts chapter 24, verse 14. But this I confess to you, that according to the way which they, his former Jewish associates, call a sect, so I worship the God of my fathers, believe in all things which are written in the law and prophets. Notice that. He believed the written word of God, and he worshiped God because he was a believer. Now, he says this in verse 15. I have hope in God. Would you say that with me? I have hope in God, which they themselves also accept, that there will be a resurrection of the dead, both of the just and the unjust. And he says this in verse 16, this being so, I myself always strive to have a conscience without offense toward God and men. He realized that, yes, I believe what's written, and I worship God, and I know one day there's going to be a resurrection, and we'll give account of ourselves to God. So right now, I'm trying to do the right thing. One of the ways we can know that we've been born again, that God has changed our heart, is because when we come to that place where we believe in our heart in Jesus as Lord, that his Holy Spirit not only forgives our sin, his Holy Spirit takes up residence within us. He lives on the inside, and now we want to do his will. And we have that battle going back and forth. There's that contest between the old tendency to sin and the new desires that the Holy Spirit gives me. He gives me the desire to worship, to pray, to live for Jesus, to want to see others come to know him. He gives me the desire for his word. It's on the inside. Yes, I still have the old desires, and that's the battle. And I do sin at times. I don't want to. I want to do what's right. But you know this. If the Holy Spirit is on the inside of you, when you sin, it doesn't matter whether look like there's any consequences or not. Doesn't look like, you know, doesn't matter whether anyone saw you or not. What matters is the Holy Spirit lets you know on the inside that he's been grieved, and you know you're not in right fellowship with the Lord, and you want to make that thing right. That's evidence that Jesus has changed our heart, changed our lives. I'll close with these verses in Matthew 28, where we started. We started in verse 1. I want to read those last few verses, and I want to read them out of the International Standard Version. Matthew 28, you can just follow along on the screen. Jesus says this, or the Bible says this, the 11 disciples went into Galilee to the hillside to which Jesus had directed them. Remember, he told the ladies to go. It says, when they saw him, oh, wow, look at that. They worshiped him. See, brothers and sisters, worship is more than singing a song. It includes singing a song, but worship is recognizing that Jesus is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. It's bowing ourselves before him and giving him proper honor and proper place in our lives. He is Almighty God. Worship is a life of devotion and gratitude for God's love and mercy toward us. I want to say that again. Worship is a life of just devotion and gratitude because of God's great love and mercy toward us. Worship is from a heart that he's changed. He goes on and it says, they worshiped him, though some had doubts. Some were wondering, is it really him? Then Jesus approached them and told them, "All authority in heaven and on earth is given to me. Therefore, as you go, disciple people in all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey everything that I've commanded you. And remember, I am with you each and every day until the end of the age." Jesus said, "I'm with you." That means every moment, every circumstance, every temptation, every success, every victory, every blessing, every trial, every loss, every failure. He says, "I'm with you each and every day, every moment, every season." Are you living in close fellowship with him? See, it's not just that, well, one day I get to go to heaven. If we know the Lord, if he's changed my heart, that relationship begins now, and we can be in close fellowship with him right now. Through the darkest season, through the worst of times, I've come to the place I know in my own life that life hands us enough remembrances, if we will use them, to remind us of how much I need the Lord and how I need to stay in close fellowship with him. If you're not in close fellowship with him, you can be. You can know him. He can indwell you. And you can stay in close fellowship with him by prayer and worship and through the scripture and fellowship with godly believers. That's how we grow in Christ. It's how we produce fruit that is testimony to others, that we want to do everything that we do, schoolwork, relationships, friendship, finances, job. We want to do all that we do to the glory of God because he's changed our hearts. Jesus is still changing hearts and changing destinies. Now, here's an important question. To me, it's the most important question of all. Has Jesus changed your heart? Because if he hasn't changed your heart, he hasn't changed your destiny. We can't have a different destiny for eternity unless we have a changed heart right here. Now is the time to make that right. Now is the time to recognize that Jesus Christ really did come back to life from the dead, and he's alive, and we can know him. We're not been perfected yet, but I'll ask again, has Jesus changed your heart? I did not ask, did you repeat a prayer? That can happen. I did not ask, did you have an emotional experience? You felt something. You were in a church. You raised your hand. You did something religious. All those things can be great and have their place. I am asking, has God's Holy Spirit convicted you of sin and drawn you to believe in your heart that Jesus is Lord? And if he has, thank God, he's changed your heart. His spirit is on the inside of you, and you can enjoy fellowship with him every day. But if he has not, your heart has not been changed, and your destiny will one day be away from God forever in a place Jesus said was prepared for the devil and his angels. No one has to go. He made the way. We have to reject him to go there. But if you've never believed in your heart in Jesus as Lord, you can do that today. Is he drawing you now? Is he drawing you? Because you can repeat a prayer after me. I can do that. I can lead you. But if he's not drawing you, you'll just repeat words. Is God's Holy Spirit, he's moving right now. He's drawing you. Is he drawing you to himself? If he is, it's just because he loves you and he wants you in his family. He wants to forgive you, be your Lord, and he wants you with him forever. Maybe you're a Christian and you do know the Lord, but you haven't been in that close fellowship. Is he drawing you back to a close relationship with him today? Maybe you're listening, watching right now. Is he drawing you? And if he is, then how will you respond? I hope that you'll think about that. And he is moving in our midst. And he's changing hearts, and he's changing lives, he's changing directions, and your life can be changed. You can know him today. Would you just focus on him? He is alive. Will you give yourself to Him today?
You are here, moving in our midst. I worship You. I worship You. You are here, working in this place.
Thank You, Lord.
I worship You. I worship You.
You are.
You are way maker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness, my God, that is who You are. You are way maker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness, my God, that is who You are. You are here, touching every heart. I worship You. I worship You. You are here, healing every heart. I worship You. I worship You.
You're turning lives around.
You are here, turning lives around. I worship You. I worship You. You are here, mending every heart. I worship You. I worship You.
There's hope for all of us here today.
You are way maker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness, my God, that is who You are. You are way maker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness, my God, that is who You are. 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 That is who You are.
Even when I don't see it, You're working. Even when I don't feel it, You're working.
You never stop, You never stop working. You never stop, You never stop working. Even when I don't see it, You're working. Even when I don't feel it, You're working. You never stop, You never stop working. You never stop, You never stop.
Even when.
Even when I don't see it, You're working. Even when I don't feel it, You're working. You never stop, You never stop working. You never stop, You never stop working.
Waymaker.
Waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness, my God, that is. Darkness, my God, that is who You are.
That is who You are.
That is who You are. That is who You are. That is who You are. That is who You are.
Would you remain standing just as we go to the Lord in prayer? And again, just in this, the quietness of this moment, just in worship, would you allow God to just speak to your heart and have His way? Is He drawing you? Is He drawing you right now to salvation? Not just to be religious, go to church every once in a while, to a daily relationship with God as your Father. Is He drawing you today? Then what are you going to do? How will you respond to the One who loves you more than words can express? Will you just yield yourself to Him? Lord. Will you save people today? Will you change hearts? And will you change destinies? And will you draw us all closer to you? I want to lead us in prayer before we go out. And I would just ask you, if you're ready, if that's you today, not because someone's pressuring you, God is drawing you. He's speaking to your heart right now, right in this place. You're watching, you're listening, wherever you are. Is God drawing you to himself? Will you just say, yes, Lord, and give him your heart, give him your life? If you're ready, I would like to lead. Again, these words only mean something if you're coming from your heart, because God is speaking to you, not just because you repeat them. But I'd like to, if you want to repeat them, everyone can. For one thing, it'll help maybe confirm that, but it's got to be real in your heart. And it'll help equip us to lead others to Jesus, I believe. So if you want to do this, would you just say this after me as we pray? Would you say, God, I know that I have sinned and I'm not right with you. But I believe your word, and I know that you loved me and you sent Jesus to die on a cross to pay for my sins. And I believe he came back to life and he's alive right now. Jesus, I believe in you. I receive you as my Lord, as my God. I ask you to fill me with your Spirit. Help me stay close to you and live for you. And I thank you for forgiving me of all of my sins, giving me a new start. And God, I now call you Father. Thank you for adopting me into your family. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.